I want to just say just a couple things based upon what's been shared today. I was thinking about what Wendy shared, and there were two things that struck me, and I just so appreciated her heart and just the clarity of the teaching. It was wonderful. Because I think that the central note, I know my time with Luis, I know for myself personally, my key verse for my entire life as a Christian, which is 22 years now, I came to faith in 1999 at 26 years old, was John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the living God, and Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you have sent. It's about knowing him. Have I been with you so long, Philip, and still you do not know me? Away from me, I never knew you. Not, I don't know who you are. I just don't know the you chose to be because you've never surrendered to me. And I think that this is so important. It is the heartbeat. That's what Paul says. Everything I've known, everything I've learned, it's all rubbish compared to the knowledge of knowing Jesus. And it's something that I know that we've talked about as in my involvement with the Palouse. Luis and I have talked in great depth about this. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is the most poignant question a pastor can continually ask himself and his congregation. Do I know the Jesus I'm telling people about? And do they know the Jesus they're hearing about? Like, there's nothing more important. Secondly, she talked about hope. And a verse just popped in my head, 1 John. 1 John 3, it says, we do not know yet what we will be. We're always focused on trying to discover ourselves. And Wendy was commenting, because I love to pick on Enneagram lovers, because I think it's just kids that weren't allowed to read Harry Potter freaking out. But I think that this verse in 1 John 3 really struck me. We don't know what we will be, but we do know that when we see him, we will be as he is. This is the catch. This is the key to sanctification. And whoever has this hope in them purifies themselves just as he is pure. Our hope that someday we will see Christ face to face is actually the thing that purifies us in the moment. What a beautiful thing. And then I want to just say on the intimacy, knowing, and when I use intimacy, I'm talking about friendship, talking about life together, collaboration. You guys, collaboration isn't a good idea. It's a non-negotiable. And I don't trust anyone that comes into Door of Hope and says, God told me I'm supposed to be the worship leader, or I'm a prophet, or I'm like, sweet. Well, as soon as God tells some other people that, we're all for you, but you're going to have to live in community for that to happen, because we don't believe in Lone Rangers. Because God said, and I just think this is so important, in Genesis, says over Adam, in Genesis chapter 2, which is just we all know we're scooting back and we're getting a more focused look at day 6. It says that he found no suitable companion for Adam. And he said, the first thing God's creating, it's good, it's good, it's very good, it's good, it's good. And he says, over man in an unfallen state, a sinless state, it is not good that man be alone. Wait a minute, he wasn't alone, he was with God. Didn't Augustine say that the one who has God has everything? The one who has everything without God has nothing. Augustine was wrong, because that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, God said, you have me all to yourself, and I'm saying that is not enough. Not that he's not enough, it's just not what I intended for you. Because it wasn't until, it's not about getting your wife, it's about the need for others. And that's why when it says in the Westminster Catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. No, that is not the chief end of man. It is only the chief end of man if you mean by that, love God and love your neighbor, because you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor, period. And that's why I don't trust any pastor that says, I'm just called to study and pray. Really? Because Jesus said when he created Adam, it's not good for you to be by yourself, even with me, because you're not triune. You need community. That's what it means to be made in the image of God, to be made for relationship. And so I just think, why are pastors falling left and right? Why do evangelists get isolated? It's because it's our egos, It's our desire to be loved and to be the next big thing. Man, I promise you, having led a church that exploded in growth, it was a nightmare because we are not intended for fame. Only Luis can handle that. And you know why he could handle it? It's because he didn't take it seriously. What he took seriously was Jesus and his love for people. There wasn't ego. And he, like any person, could fall into the trappings of, we all love to be liked. And that's why we just have to confess it. You can't escape it. I worry every time I preach, every time I share, I hope they like me. The sin part of me, that's just a reality. So I just speak it out. I don't let it have control. Like, you guys, I'm so much worse than you even know. And it doesn't surprise God. And I know on my worst day, I'm loved. So you need each other. You need each other. And then finally, on that revivalist thing, it is so absolutely true that every revival has been driven by young people. It's true that we need the energy of the youth. We need to be giving away ministry. I think that there is so much beautiful history around revivals. Remember this, though. Revivals always leave as fast as they come. And the reason is because I believe they're just precursors to the final coming. I think that God shakes like the shakings that happen in the world before an earthquake. The final coming is coming, and the last days begin the moment Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. So we are closer today than we were yesterday. He is coming back, and I do believe there will be one final great revival. But the revival, we're not looking for the Mount of Transfiguration. Most of life is lived in the valley, and we have to learn how to live in the power of the Spirit. So I'm leaving after this, and I'm a preacher. I got to share more than I got to sing. So, all right, now I'm going to sing. And if you've never read E. Stanley Jones, you want to read great missionary work, read Song of Ascents. It's beautiful.